Church, that brings us to our objective for today. To build our local church, we must modify. We must modify. The subtitle for today's message is, What Do You See? What do you see? Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Church, if we're going to carry out God's plan for the local church, we must modify. Now, we know something about this word modify, because the word modify simply means to adjust, to correct, to alter, or change. Modify means to adjust, correct, alter, or change. So we know something about this word, to modify, to change, because we've talked about change quite a bit. But if we're going to carry out God's plan for our local church, we have to modify some things. We have to change some things. We have to make an adjustment. What is it that we must change? What is it that we must modify? What is it that we must adjust? Well, we must change how we regard the church. We must change how we regard the church. Now, remember what we learned a couple of series ago, that the cost of obedience is change. That God oftentimes gives us instructions that require life adjustments. And when God gives us instructions that require life adjustments, we must make the adjustment in order to obey. Well, what we learned a couple of series ago is still true. See, God is calling us to join ourselves to the work of the church. He's calling us to do more, fear less, and trust God. But to do that requires that I modify or change how I regard the church. I must make an adjustment on the inside. Because if I don't have the proper regard for the church, I will never join myself to the work of the church. If I don't have the proper regard for the church, I will never join myself to the work of the church. Not really. I may acknowledge the work. I may be able to articulate what the work is to others, but I'll never join to it. And that's where many of us are right now. We acknowledge the work. We can even talk about the work. But we ourselves have not joined to the work. And we have not joined to the work simply because we do not regard the church properly. See, we understand the design of the church. I get that, Pastor. I understand what you taught in understanding the church. I understand the design. So we understand the design, but we are deceived by a belief that the church lacks real personal value to us. We would never say it, but that's what we believe. It's how we feel. We believe we give value to the church, but we don't really believe that the church gives us any real or personal value. We have a low regard for the church. And because we have a low regard for the church, we are not going to unite ourselves to do the work of the church. So we have to change. We have to modify our regard for the church. So how should we regard the church? Well, let's look again at Matthew chapter 16. We've been in this scripture several times in recent weeks. We're going to look at it again from a different viewpoint. Matthew chapter 16. We know that the Gospel of Matthew was written by the Apostle Matthew, and he wrote it to Jewish Christians to strengthen them in their suffering, warn them to not be lax, and to urge them to preach the gospel to all people. We learn that Matthew 16 begins with the Pharisees and Sadducees coming together to undermine Jesus Christ. Now remember what we learned, that the Pharisees were the super religious, rigid, legalistic individuals, but the Sadducees were worldly, and they were the intellectuals. They didn't believe in the supernatural. And yet, despite their differences, they came together and asked Jesus for a sign, a proof that he was the Messiah, all to undo him. Jesus refuses and declares the only sign he would give would be the sign of Jonah. That is, he would die, be buried, and raised from the dead. And after this encounter, we learn that Jesus then warns his disciples to be careful of their false doctrine. Then he begins to talk to his disciples. Let's pick up in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter here has publicly proclaimed that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus affirms that Peter is correct. But then Jesus makes a bold statement concerning the church. Let's read verse 18 again. He says, "I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What Jesus was doing is declaring that he was about to establish something that would not fail. He was going to establish his church, a body of believers who would be built up and sustained by the truth of who Jesus is. "I'm about to build something that will not fail." And this church that Jesus was to build would be so powerful that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So though earth and hell itself unite and come together against the church would not be destroyed. That's what Jesus was guaranteeing. He was promising so that from generation to generation, generation after generation, people would be saved, would be engrafted into the body. They would be healed, delivered, and made free. They would receive power to overcome the challenges of their age. They would be able to fight and persevere. They would be able to do good in the time that they lived in, regardless of the opposition. They would be able to glorify God under every circumstance and under every condition. They would be able to leave a deposit in the earth for the next generation of believers. And when God received them home, they would be received home in victory. Generation after generation. without fail. That's what Jesus was promising. He was building something that could not and would not fail. He was building an indestructible body that would draw men into it, that would give men victory over their present evil circumstances. Church, God is calling us to participate in the work of building up this indestructible body. That's what he's calling us to. He is calling us to draw our families out of the ruin of the world into a body that shall never be destroyed. And he is calling us to draw our families into the body through our local church. That's how it's done. He's calling us to draw our families into this body through the local church. He's calling us to bring our families to a place of victory. He's calling us to do a work that has eternal value. See, our church is important. It's not just a place to come to meet people that you like. It's important. But when you look at your local church, what do you see? Is this what you see? Do you see a part of God's plan to build an indestructible body? When you look at your local church, what do you see? Do you regard it properly? Do you realize how important your local church is to the future of your family? Is it important to you? How do you regard it? Do you see the power of God at work in and through your local church? Do you see in your local church the promise of victory, the ability to overcome the evil of this world? Or do you just see a nice place? How do we regard our church? That brings us to our points for this morning: to join the work that God has called us to do, we must change how we regard the church. That means we must change three things. We must change, point number one, how we think. We must change how we think. Church, to join ourselves to the work of the church, we must change how we think about the church. We have to know that our church is valuable. It is valuable. And we don't believe that. We don't believe that our church is valuable. So we don't labor in it, with it. We simply neglect it. See, people don't put time and energy into something that they believe lacks value. We don't put time and energy into something that we think lacks value. That's why we don't labor in and for our church. We don't see the value. We don't see the benefit to us or to others. And many of us who are even very involved in the church, we think that way too. See, don't let involvement fool you. Because some of us are involved and we feel like we're involved because that's what we like to do. But if you took the church from us, we believe we would be just fine. We don't see the value in the church, in our church. We don't see the benefit to us and to others. We are blinded by our love for the world. We have more important things to do. You might say, well, I know Pastor's not talking to me because I labor I labor in my church.